ladies and gentlemen, to yet another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Broadcasting from New Zealand, the fabulous, the fluoridated, the Fukushima irradiated. We don't know how irradiated, because they stopped testing for radiation in the seawater about 6 to 8 months ago. Good on them. You know, because you wouldn't want to know that pretty much half the stuff that you're driving around in or eating or something like that has massive carcinogenic radiation, stuff like that, off of the Pacific Ocean. You know, you don't want to know that. Because, you know, you'll stop buying all of that contaminated stuff, won't you? Wouldn't that just be tragic? My very special guest is known as JP, or Joshua Perry, and I'm interviewing him today based on the New Zealand's internet party founded by Kim.com. JP, welcome to the program.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
Can you tell us a little bit about who you are and what it is you do?
I'm currently in Zoom doing my final year of my marketing degree at Otago Polytechnic. I've been studying for about 4 years. Now I'm very interested in politics, and that's why I joined the internet party.
So, you know, after your 4 years of studying, doing your marketing degree and getting involved in politics, what actually interests you about politics, like, today, of all days? What's going on in New Zealand right now that concerned you enough to want to join a political party?
Well, it's the fact that all New Zealanders are now have been fired on, and I didn't want to be fired on, so that's why I've joined the internet party to try and stop the Jesus Bible from going through. Yeah.
Okay. So you basically realised that the Government Security Communications Bureau, the GCSB, was spying on everyone, and you just don't want that to happen. Is that about right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think it's as good a reason as any. I don't know about you, Josh, but I think having your privacy is akin to having your freedom. And if you no longer have any privacy, you don't have any freedom.
Exactly.
I mean, isn't that why when a child gets older, they want their own room?
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah. And I think you've got a point there. You know, it's all feeling wrong and there's nothing to be nothing time, but at the end of the day, the government can see our every move, and I think New Zealanders are concerned about that, you know? Yeah.
Well, you know, the New Zealanders should be concerned if the government knows everything that you're doing at all times when you're at home. I believe one of the interesting points made was perspective, or rather taking things out of context. Let's say, for instance, you're an activist, or you turn an activist after about 10, 20 years or something like that, in an industry, or whistleblower, and all of a sudden, every single little parking ticket, every time you weren't at home when you said you were, every little speculation, anything that could be taken out of context can be used to defame you. And the only reason they'd have all that really quite irrelevant information is because the government wants to control what people say. So if you go out and you start saying something, oh, the government's going to come after you, they'll know everything about you.
Exactly. And that's why I fear if the GCSB bill is allowed to get to its full capacity, then who knows what the government will do and
Well, I've seen a chain with what governments do. They'll pass a bit of legislation, like you say, and then you don't know what they're going to do with it.
Yeah.
And I found what they normally do is they don't use it very much until the next government comes in, and then they use all of those powers that were set down for them by a previous political party, allegedly their rival, and say, hey, you can't blame us for using all these draconian powers and everything. We didn't pass the law.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, what direction's the country heading?
I think the country is a crossroads right now, you know, and I think we're crossroads. We had to decide to continue down the strong path and hope that all New Zealanders won't notice the government or do we pull back now and get back to the way things were. Yeah.
You think we're at a crossroads and basically people have a decision now about whether or not they want to live in a police state or not. The problem is they're not even aware that they're being given a choice.
Yeah.
They just do nothing, which is inherently choosing to be spied on in a police state.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm calling on the government to do a referendum now. When we get into power after the next election. And that's one of the first things I'll be doing when I'm elected to Parliament.
Okay, Josh, well, when you're going into Parliament for the first time and you want to, like, start a referendum, I mean, some of the things I'm really concerned about is parliamentary induction, all these rules that you have to follow, and it's almost like good apples like yourself simply jump into a banned barrel that seems to hamstring you from time to time. I've interviewed Hone Hardawera about it, and I've asked him, you know, how he could regulate the media so that they'd tell the truth and not be so full of crap all the time. And he's like, well, basically, there's bugger all you can do from inside Parliament for most things.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's just about putting walls that New Zealanders would like to see in there and trying to get the best from all sides, really. Yeah.
Well, you know, if you're bringing in fresh perspectives to Parliament, it's a very good idea. If anything, it could help to water down this kind of progressive juggernaut, as I see it, happening from both the left and the right of the spectrum, who all seem to enact virtually the same legislation. It doesn't matter what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly. And that's one of the things that we kind of address when I get into Parliament is the lack of honesty and integrity from all MPs from both sides, you know? Yeah.
Well, I thought that if the GCSB would work properly, the first thing it should surveil is all sitting MPs to see that they're not up to dirty business in the background or whatever. I mean, if the MPs are going to pass legislation that allows them to spy on all of us, shouldn't they lead by example? Shouldn't John Key have a few CCTV cameras linked up in his bedroom, in his bathroom, in his kitchen and whatnot, so the whole country can watch him while he sleeps and goes to the bathroom?
I don't think you need to go that far, but yes, I think there needs to be some accountability and definitely some honesty, you know. I think you can definitely put cameras in each of the offices to make sure everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing, you know.
But what happens is, and I've talked to a number of people about what surveillance does, all the way through from so-called benign sorts of surveillance, like piss testing shift workers and things of that nature, all the way to CCTV cameras in the UK. And what it does from across the spectrum is it makes people not feel like doing their job anymore. It makes them feel depressed, like they're not trusted, like they're not valued, and they can't be bothered doing it anymore, and they leave. The problem is, if it's across the entire country, you have to leave the country. And the real problem is, it's not just happening in this country, is it, Josh? It's happening everywhere.
Yeah. Well, that comes to the new world order again. Trying to take over the rules, food supply, and I think the UN needs to get a look at it themselves. And so how can we stop this before it's too late, you know? Yeah.
Well, I think something tells me that the way this has been set up in the first place is because people take that response, you know, it's up to the people in authority, it's up to the people who are in these positions where it's their job to stop humanity being enslaved by ruthless criminal, sociopathic criminal, banking cartels or something like this in the New World Order fashion. I see a real problem with that mentality because basically it just breeds submission to authority. And that simply allows the system to keep progressing. And if I might say so, Josh, perhaps you've kind of come across as maybe an example of what people actually should be doing is running for parliament themselves. I mean, if they know about the New World Order and they can come out and speak about it, considering the importance of the subject matter, how yep. important it is for the country to stop it in its tracks... people have to take action, individually and collectively.
We have to take action now. We can't wait for tomorrow, because tomorrow is going to be too late. We have to take action now. Yeah.
Well, because another reason to take action now, I think I saw it on a website that the National Party has passed on average 2 laws per day since they got into Parliament.
Yeah, I mean, can you tell me how many laws they were passing on average when Helen Clark was in power?
It's probably something similar.
Yeah.
Which simply just shows to me that both parties have been taken over by the New World Order.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's happening, like, across the world. Yeah.
Well, it seems the Green Party as well is well on board with this agenda. They're, what was it? I was reading through their environment policy, and they come out bold-faced, you know, we want to implement Agenda 21. That's New World Order legislation, isn't it? Along with Codex Alimentarius, all through the UN. And you look at the wording of these documents, and then you go and read the environment policy of National and Labour,
yeah.
and it's identical. To the Greens.
Yeah. Can I tell you about our environmental policy?
Go for it.
Environmental policy has things in it which say that there's gonna be green data centers set up so it can go to things like green research, helping our environment. All those
and stuff. Yeah. Well, if you're going to be doing research into environmental studies, more or less government programs on it, I think that's probably a good idea, because what the other ones seem to be doing is not researching into the problems at all or what's causing yep. them or anything. They just say blanketedly, oh, it's carbon change, it's CO2. The environmental problems that we have are far larger than a single non-toxic compound in the atmosphere, methinks. The amount of pesticides, herbicides, and goodness knows what other genocides that are going on all over the place because of yep. chemical contamination or even purposeful chemicals in the water supply like fluoride. These are things the environmental lobbies don't even mention, and yep. they're infinitely more important, in my opinion.
Yeah. That's why at the moment we are having a discussion on this on our website. If you go to internetparty.org.nz, search policy form, and then click on the environmental policy, people can have their say at the door. Can you join us? I would encourage anyone listening to this to join up, because we definitely need your ideas and some new ways of thinking.
Well, I think that's probably one of the interesting elements that yep. I've seen to the rebirth of politics through the internet. Is now people have access to their constituents in a very direct format. And I think policy, legislation, and things of that nature can be done via discussion that is very easy to participate in. In so doing, it's more robust, often a lot more inclusive, and it sometimes takes longer, other times doesn't, but it always tends to come up with better, more workable solutions through the processing, rather than what's called the Delphi technique meetings, where you go into the meeting as the chairman with a set agenda, and you basically tell everybody at the end of the day, yes, thank you for all your opinions and whatnot. This is the policy we're going to enact. Thank you for having your frickin' say.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like, I mean, there's politics within politics, I think. I think that when we vote, it's not actually really counted as people who have the most money get the most say in how we should run the country.
Well, conveniently, the Internet Party is fronted by a multimillionaire.
I know that, but and I'm not saying Kim.com's wrong to do that. I'm just saying there should be more transparency between the people at the bottom and the people at the top, you know what I mean?
Well, because I think everybody's opinion carries equal weight, if none of their opinions are based on facts.
Yeah.
And just like everybody's opinion carries the same weight as it is based on facts. Yeah. And the fact of the matter is, New Zealand is having legislation passed progressively to take away all our freedoms, all our rights, all our land, all our money, everything.
Yeah.
Basically taking away, step by step, everything that it is to be a New Zealander. Everything that it is to be human.
Yeah.
I mean, so who are you going to call? There ain't no line for Ghostbusters out there, bro.
yeah, exactly. I think the Internet Party is the best choice because we will be honest up front with the people and I wouldn't let my constituents down if I'm elected. Yeah.
Well, I also think about this. The importance of the Internet Party is as important as the Internet itself.
Yeah.
How does pretty much all business and social interaction and media viewing and all of that get done nowadays?
For social media, I mean, it's been happening since 2004 in America, and then it started in 2007 in New Zealand, so it's spread right across the world in a really quick time frame. We have to get used to this new technology and being more upfront and honest with people. Yeah.
Well, indeed, things need to be put in place in order to ensure accountability of representatives, because what really kind of gets my goat about voting once every couple of years is that's all the participation that's required from you as a voter, is once every couple of years you decide which person that you know nothing about to cast a piece of paper that you don't know who counts for somebody. You know, they're not going. The majority of people aren't going out to protests or sitting in council meetings, taking notes, exposing corruption. It's done by a very, very small minority of participants.
Yeah, I mean, apart from the fact we have by-elections, which don't come up that often, but there definitely needs to be more accountability, I think.
Well, how exactly can you ensure accountability when Parliament's sovereign? That's the other thing. I interviewed, what was his name, Russell Norman from the Leader of the Greens when we were having the Mount Albert by-election back in 2008, I think, when Helen Clark left for the UN, incidentally. I'm just a coincidence theorist, of course. And he said that because Parliament's sovereign, it can undo any law it wants.
Yeah.
Right? And I was like, whoa, hold on a second. That means that having no accountability is part of the power of Parliament.
Yeah. Well, we need to sort by drafting laws that allow for more accountability for members' spending, for example, in terms of what they're spending with us on a restaurant meal or fries or meeting with dignitaries from other countries, for example.
You're kind of like talking about a version of the United States Logan Act. So if our parliamentarians are inviting foreign dignitaries around to their house and having dinner and talking about under the table stuff, they can't do that. It's illegal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that would sound like a basic thing, right? Activist and public watchdog Penny Bright has come up with a number of parliamentary rules. Which I think would be really good as an induction. For example, making it illegal in New Zealand to knowingly misrepresent your policy. Yeah. That's not currently illegal.
Like, I'll give you an example. When Julia Gillard, the former Australian Prime Minister, went into the election saying that there were going to be no carbon tax. What did she do after the election? She put the carbon tax on the Greens. Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds about right. And this is the exact same thing that happens. Julia Gillard, she goes into coalition with the Greens the day after her election, after her main election platform was no carbon tax, and then signs one. And then, John Key, he says he's going to reduce the national debt. He increased our debt more than all previous prime ministers in this country's history combined in his first term alone.
Yeah.
The exact same thing is true of Barack Obama, who said he's going to take control of the U.S. national debt. He borrowed more than all U.S. presidents combined in his first term alone. See, it's the same kettle of fish. You see the exact same pattern happening. And it's allowed to happen because what they're doing isn't illegal, even though it's clearly fraud.
I mean, they should be putting a tax on mining, for example.
Well, maybe we should have a scumbaggery tax, you know? Like if you've proven to engaged in some form of scumbaggery, that you should be taxed on your income.
You think so? Maybe. I mean, it would depend on the circumstances.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, scumbaggery is quite difficult to expose because it's very good at concealing itself, isn't it?
Yeah.
Either that or spinning it as nothing. For example, excuse me, my name's Kim.com, Mr. Key, and you're the only person with authority to allow the GCSB to surveil anybody specific and whatnot, and you got them to surveil me, and it was illegal, along with 80 other people. And then John Key says, he's a conspiracy theorist, therefore it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Far out, man. I can't believe this country. And people swallow it. And then, no, Josh, I've been out protesting John Key with a big sign that says "Not Wanted." You know, like the old Wild West posters that say "Wanted." This one says "Not Wanted." It's got a picture of John Key on it. You know, and you get people driving past you going, "I got one thing to say about John Key. Thank you." You know, Thank you for what, bro? Getting us into debt, taking away the rights, exploiting the country, destroying it. You know, selling it out to foreign banks. Allowing the UN to have bigger control of us, signing us up to NATO, giving the US Coast Guard control of our frickin' waters? Are you kidding me, bro? The only people who like him know nothing about him, and that's why they can like him.
Yeah. Well, I was a member of the National Party back in 2010, and this is before it all went down. I felt like I didn't get a say in the policy, you know?
Yeah, and what they tell you the policy is, and what the policy really is, ain't always exactly the same thing, are they?
Yeah.
And let's hope the Internet Party can change that current history of New Zealand politics. Joshua Perry, ladies and gentlemen, is it theinternetparty.org.nz or just internetparty.org.nz?
Internetparty.org.nz.
All right, that's the one. Check it out, ladies and gentlemen. Might be worth a read of the legislation and give them your vote if you want to not be a slave. You know, might be an idea. All right. Thank you, my fellow slaves of the plantation. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We are sponsored by a number of books on the website there, including the Crowdfunding Revolution. And also, I wanted to point you towards some of our sponsors, the Range of Illusion book there, as well as the High Tea Cafe, the Gourmet Soap Kitchen in Wagga Wagga. I like saying the word Wagga Wagga for some reason. I don't know why. And also Blue Shield. So if you don't, you know, there's another thing about surveillance, ladies and gentlemen. It's usually done through wireless technology a lot of the time and whatnot. Blue Shields won't protect you from that surveillance, but they might actually protect you from some of the harmless, so-called harmless radio waves that bathe you in total radiation and split apart your cells like they're a frickin' egg inside your bloodstream. Go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and click on that little Blue Shield banner down there. There's a number of devices that'll protect you from that, Shiite Muslim. Thank you very much. We'll see you after the break.